Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast. On a Tuesday, we got a really special episode. Yeah, fall camp is over. Sure, the season starts in about 10 days. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be yet. There's a lot of stuff going on with USC football, but we're going to take a little break from all of that. We got a very special episode today. First, we got Keely Yore in studio helping produce the show. What's up, Keely?
Hello, hello.
Follow her on Twitter, at Keely is my name. Doing a great job. But the special guest, I haven't talked to him for a while, Ben Malcolmson. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ben Malcolmson. He has a new book that is out. It is called Walk On, From Pee-wee Dropout to the NFL Sidelines, My Unlikely Story of Football, Purpose, and Following an Amazing God. A few words in that title, but we want to welcome Ben into the show. Ben, thanks so much for coming on.
Ryan, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's been a while. Have you been back around USC? It's been a minute since you were working down there.
It's been a couple of minutes. This is our ninth season already up in Seattle with the Seahawks. It's been an amazing journey up here. And I actually we come back in the springtime. Coach Carroll has been kind of helping with this new program at USC in the business school. So we come back every spring to help teach a class there, which is really cool. But I actually made it back for my first USC football game last fall, back in the Coliseum for the first time in like a decade. And it was magical. It's a special place.
Yeah. Wow. So it's 9 years. Like, when did that happen? Like,
it just flew by. It's crazy. It feels like we were just there.
Nuts. Well, so there are probably some people that, you know, so Ben was around during the Pete Carroll era. There's a really interesting story. But I wanted to kind of maybe we'll talk about the book first, and we'll go back and kind of talk about the journey. Of course, I mean, you described the journey, I guess, in the book. But how did the idea for the book come about? And maybe tell people a little bit about it.
Yeah, so the book, it just came out a couple weeks ago, and it's been awesome seeing how many people have been picking that up, and just the impact of the book has been really cool. And I've just felt kind of a nudge in my heart for a couple of years now to really put this into writing. I'm excited to get into the story more on this podcast, but the story itself is pretty amazing. It's unbelievable, and so many people are touched by it and impacted by it. So I felt for so long I needed to put this on a page, and the written word is just such a powerful medium, and it just was such a great way to reach people. And finally, thankfully, with the help of I had a collaborator, Patty McCord, who helped me kind of put everything together. Helped get the book out, and it just came out a couple weeks ago. So it's been an amazing journey, and it's just so cool to see the reach of a book. It's amazing.
And that's, you know, back in the day when Pete Carroll was around, he was a big proponent of, you know, inspirational books and getting authors to come in or speakers and stuff. So I mean, I don't know if that some of that kind of rubbed off on you and giving you the idea for the book too.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's an avid reader and just always soaking up new information. So I've kind of picked that up by osmosis just by being around him for all these years. And I've become an incredibly avid reader and just in a constant pursuit to learn and grow. And I definitely think that's played a huge role in me producing this book.
So let's we got to get into the story, but I want to let people know you will be on the USC campus Friday, August 31st. There'll be a book signing at the USC bookstore starting at 6:30 going to 7:30. So if you want to go, you can pick up a copy. Ben can sign it for you, write a little something nice in there. So it'd definitely be cool. You should go check that out. But we haven't announced this yet. We're going to do a little USCFootball.com meet and greet. We did one last year, and Clay Helton was nice enough to come over. We partnered with Trader Joe's. We gave away hundreds of these USC Trader Joe's bags. So before the Jock Rally, which will be just before Ben's book signing, the Jock Rally starts around 5 o'clock in the quad out there in front of next to Heritage Hall and between Heritage Hall and the John McKay Center. They get the band and the football team comes out there. It's pretty fun. It's an exciting thing. We're going to be there from about 3 to 5. We'll be there during the Jock Rally too, and then going over to Ben's book signing. We're going to just have a little table there, like a tent. Just meet and greet, talk to people. If you want to come up and chat with anyone on the USCFootball.com staff, we will be there. And Ben said he was going to come over too. So I think we'll get a few books that we can give away for some of the people that show up there. So it should be fun.
Yeah, I'm pumped to see everyone there, and whether at your event or at the book signing. The book signing will be really special there at the USC bookstore right on campus. So let's just make a whole afternoon out of it. Let's swing by Trader Joe's, see you guys, go to the Chalk Rally, and then come on over to the bookstore. It'll be a really fun day.
Have you seen it? Like, we did the event because they just opened Trader Joe's, that whole University Village over there. It is so insane.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Feels like we're in Westwood. It's wild. It's so nice.
Yeah, Westwood with more parking, though. I think they got the underground lots and stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. Well, cool stuff. All right, so there's some people, there's some USC fans that only been around for a little while. You know, Keeley's a youngin'. She wasn't around for the Pete Carroll era. But, she came through USC's journalism program with, broadcast journalism. So I think it's interesting for a lot of people because you were a guy basically that was writing for the school newspaper and got onto the football team. So wherever you want to start, we can start with how that journey began.
Yeah, well, it's kind of crazy to begin with, but I was just a student newspaper reporter there for the Daily Trojan and had covered the team for 3 years, just kind of a columnist. I was a sports editor and got to go to every home and away game for 3 years, and it was an incredible experience, and I was figuring this is what I wanted to do for my career. There's nothing better than just being around sports and getting kind of a front row seat to it all, and it was so special during those years because that was the Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush years, all the magical run that the Trojans were on then, all the national championships, the Heisman trophies. It was amazing. And I was gearing up to graduate spring of my senior year, and I wanted to do one final good story about the football team. I had done a couple of unique stories on the football team in that time of just day in the life of Pete Carroll, and I did a day in the life of the equipment manager, and just kind of unique angles. And I saw an alert that there were walk-on tryouts coming up for the football team, and I was pretty intrigued. That's pretty cool that the number one football team in the country does kind of an open casting call for any student that wants to come out and try out. And I was like, okay, well, I got to do a story on these guys. Who shows up to this? And then pretty soon after I started working on that story, it hit me, well, why don't I go through the trial myself, and I'll get to really be on the inside, really show how it is and how hard it is. And it'll be a joke too, because here I am, the student newspaper reporter, 165 pounds, and I hadn't played football since fifth grade. So, it was going to be a total joke. And I went and talked to Coach Carroll, and I'd gotten to know him just from covering the team. Ryan, just by being around, you get to know these guys. And I went up to him one day and I was like, hey, Coach, do you mind if I try out for the football team to write an article? And he laughed at me. He said, it won't be very interesting, but go for it. And so I kind of had a feeling, well, if he's saying that, then it's probably going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah. So, he couldn't have been more wrong, right? Like,
yeah. Here we are 13 years later. I'm still living in the wake of that. So, I ended up going through the tryout, and it was crazy. There I am literally trying out for the number one college football team in the country. This is wild. And I hadn't played football in fifth grade. I'd never run a 40-yard dash in my life, and there I am lining up to run a 40-yard dash. I'm the newspaper guy, and there's Sark out there. There's Kiff out there. There's Ken Norton Jr. All these familiar faces that were assistant coaches at the time were just barking at me. And they figured out that I was the Daily Trojan writer, and they just, for the next hour, just let me have it. And it was funny, and I was definitely put through the ringer. And it was an amazing experience because I went home and I started writing my story, and I couldn't wait to put this together because I got to try out for the number one team in the country. This was wild. So it was really cool. And it was the crown jewel of my college newspaper career, without a doubt.
That's it's really interesting hearing that go back there. Who was your position coach? Was that Lane Kiff? Was Lane Kiffin the wide receiver coach at the time?
Yeah. Kiff was the wide receivers coach. And then his GA, the assistant wide receivers coach, was Yogi Roth, who's now a Pac-12 announcer and all that. So we had quite the wide receiver room right then.
That's really – and then Yogi ended up doing a book. I think he did it with Pete Carroll too, right? Like,
yeah, he ghost wrote Coach's book for him.
Yeah, that's – it all comes around. It all comes around. Did you feel at the time – because it is the number one team in the country. You hadn't played since fifth grade. But it's not like you couldn't play. But did you feel like this was like they were doing this more for publicity, or what did you feel like when this was going on?
Well, when I got the news a day later that I made the team, someone called and said I was on the list. I immediately thought that this has to be a prank. Coach Carroll, I mean, you remember those days he's pulling in Will Ferrell and, and all the clowns that came through, you know, it was just like
throwing a dummy off the building.
Like, exactly. Yeah. Just one joke after another. And I'm like, okay, well, here I am, the newspaper reporter. He's pulling a prank on me. You know, this is, he's just doing it to help my story out a little bit. And so I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. And I'm fully expecting him just to pull the rug out from under me the next time I saw him. And so I go into the football building, fully anticipating him just with like cameras and just making fun of me, you know. And there he is bouncing a basketball in the football office. And I'm like, coach, okay, joke's over. And he says, no, you can catch the ball. You can run fast. We want you on the team. And I was like, what the heck? There's no way. And I couldn't even process this at the time because, I mean, he was the best college football coach in the country at the time. You know, it's just, this is crazy. And this was 2 months after USC lost to Texas in the Rose Bowl. So this is just like at the pinnacle. I mean, this is just crazy that he's saying that to me. And I was like, what? And he's like, well, are you in or are you not? You know, and I'm like, well, I'm in. And he's like, well, go get your playbook. And so there I turn the corner and I go walk into Kiff's office and he hands me a playbook. And I'm like, what the heck is going on right now? This is too crazy. I'm getting a playbook from Lane Kiffin. I got to go down to the equipment room. They hand me my equipment. I mean, I don't know how to put pads on. It had been 11 years since I put pads on. I don't know how to put a jersey over a pad. You know, it's just, I was in foreign territory for sure.
That is amazing. And I think when you think about that, like you hadn't played, just not even knowing what you're doing, putting pads on, but it's a meeting of these two different worlds. And we've had people that, you know, would come to work, like work for me for the site where you're on the media side. You were on the media side at the Daily Trojan, but then they want to get a job on the athletic side. We had one guy that was a really good writer. He wanted to be a manager on the football team. So he was that. He ended up being the head manager for a while, but he had to, it's a separate world. You can't really, you don't really associate with the media people anymore because you're on this other side of the wall. So you went from one side to the other. Was there stuff you kind of learned as, or like you thought you knew as a journalist, and then you get inside like, holy crap, I was wrong about that, or this is very different than what I thought?
Yeah, that's a great question. It was interesting because I was fully expecting, like, once I finally get behind the curtain, because as a media person, you're always trying to get a little bit more inside. I mean, that's why I was going through the trial, just to show kind of the inside a little bit more. You're always trying to get a little bit closer, obviously without ruining relationships or anything, but you're just trying to bring people into places where they can't normally get the information. Like a normal fan just sitting at home, he's relying on a media person to bring him where he can't go anywhere else on his own. So I was fully expecting to walk in and just, oh man, this is going to be so cool. I'm going to get all the secrets and everything. But I mean, I didn't speak the language, to be honest, because here we're going through these play calls that are 12 words long. I'm like, what? This is like learning Japanese, you know? And then you're at practice, they're telling you to run certain drills. And it's like, I don't know what this is at all. And so that was hard at first because all these people, they were football lifers, you know, and they'd grown up playing football and in a playbook and just around the game. And I was brand new to it. And it's vastly different than I was expecting. It's way different than just watching from the sidelines or from the press box or whatever. And it's way harder than I thought it was going to be. Just the mental anguish of it, just trying to learn a playbook. And then the physical aspect of it too. I was so undersized and I was getting my butt kicked. I mean, Ray Malugo was just, I was a tackling dummy for Ray, you know, and it was brutal. And I mean, Taylor Mays was a freshman that year and he really enjoyed taking his frustration out on me on the practice field. I mean, and Keith Rivers, I mean, without even trying, I'm just getting knocked over by Keith Rivers and Brian Cushing's on the team. And this was when Clay Matthews had just earned his scholarship. Okay. He was a walk-on just the same time I was. He was a walk-on and he gets a scholarship that fall camp. And then within 2 years, he's first-round draft pick in the NFL. So it's just, this team was loaded. And I think there were 54 guys on that team that ended up playing in the NFL. So it's like an entire NFL roster was on that team. This was crazy. Yeah. And when we were there at USC at the time and watching and just being a part of it, you don't understand and appreciate just the incredible just gravity of everything. I mean, this was an incredible time of USC football.
There's some really interesting walk-on stories. You mentioned Clay Matthews. It's a unique experience, and I know the rules have changed, and I'm not sure if you ever talked with Tim Lavin, who was a former USC walk-on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so he wrote a book, too, I think like 5 or 6 years ago about why he's like an advocate for walk-on rights. And I think he was part of the reason why you can now go to the training table and all that kind of stuff. Stuff that you couldn't do. You felt like you were a different, you know, class of athlete, I guess. Did you feel that way when you were at USC? And like, what was that experience like?
Now, Coach Carroll did an incredible job, and he still does, of just creating a family environment with a football team. And guys are on equal footing. And even the top of the line guys, they're still part of the team just as much as a walk-on is. And the only thing I felt different, I kind of felt self-conscious and kind of embarrassed at first. Of I was interviewing these guys after games and after practices, and here I am in the locker room, literally. And it's just – it was crazy. So that was – I was definitely – very aware of that and just kind of walking around on eggshells for a little bit. But then I realized like these guys, they don't care. I'm just part of the team, just like everyone else. And Coach Carroll did an incredible job with that. And I'm sure Coach Helton does the same. And Coach Helton's an incredible person, an incredible coach. And it's just cool when coaches create that environment where everyone's the same. Everyone's part of the team and contributes, whether they play 60 plays a game or whether they don't play at all and they just contribute on the practice field.
The practice experience, you're talking about some of the guys that were knocking you around. Did you feel like it got a little bit easier as you went along? And were there moments where you're like, I just made a really nice catch, like on the scout team against like the first team defense and stuff? Like, were there some cool experiences like that with practice?
Yeah, it was cool because I was way out of my element the first couple of weeks of being on the team during spring ball. And I ended up getting hurt and dislocating my shoulder and I had to get surgery. And I got back in half the time the doctor said I could. It was a miraculous healing. So I was back for the whole fall season and was practicing every day. And I mean, I was definitely getting my bell rung left and right. It was painful in that sense. But there were a lot of really cool moments where there I am. I'm on scout team and I'm going against the first team defense. And you make a play or you make a block even just to get in the way of your guy and prevent him from going after the running back or whatever it is. Or yeah, we would have these little scrimmages at the end of practices, as you probably remember, just those highly competitive drills. And even if I got in on a play, it was, oh, this is amazing, you know, and I was never gonna get the ball, but just getting in and I'm going against all these guys. It was such a cool moment. So there were lots of little moments like that. Just being able to take a hit was kind of a victory because the first several times I was getting hit, I would be like a rag doll, just getting thrown around, and finally being able to learn how to actually bear down and take a hit, was a pretty victorious feeling too.
There wasn't really Twitter back then, but if there was hashtags, the hashtag would have been get Ben in, right? Like that was the, there were people, students holding up signs, like your friends, people, I think it was maybe people from a fraternity or something. Like there was a lot of people that wanted to get you into a game.
Yeah, there was a group from my fraternity that got this started and they kind of spread. There were, I don't know how many, but tons of students wearing these Get Ben In shirts, and they put posters all over campus, and they would be chanting in the student section at the end of our home games, Get Ben In. And it's really weird because here there are 99 other guys on the team and they all deserve to play and they're chanting my name. And I'm like, this is so awkward. But it was just really cool how it became bigger than me because these students saw themselves in me in a sense. You know, they saw, oh, if he can do it, then, I mean, that gives me hope. You know, that gives me a little inspiration that this is pretty cool. And it was just funny because I'd be in class, like one of those big classes at SC, and like 200 students or whatever it is, and someone would walk up and be like, are you Get Ben In? And I'm like, well, I'm Ben, but yeah, I guess that's me. So it was funny, but it was so cool just to see people rally. I mean, people coming together. And that's the beauty of football. That's the beauty of college sports is that people come together in just a really powerful way. And I was just fortunate to be a part of that.
So we're talking with Ben Malcolmson, longtime assistant to the Seahawks head coach, Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll actually had a quote for the book. He said, Ben Malcolmson has a fascinating and inspiring story to share that has touched my life, my family, and my career in ways I could never have imagined. That's from Pete Carroll. So how did that, you know, once your playing career was over, then it became a career working with Pete Carroll and still being around the USC football team?
Yeah, well, let's be careful calling it a playing career because
you played. We should talk about that. You got into a game. You did get into the game, right? Yeah.
I got in one play against Notre Dame, the quarterback kneel, at the very end of the game, and was very fortunate for that. And then I find out 2 days later at our Tell the Truth Monday meeting that I lined up wrong on the play. I should have been penalized 5 yards. So it was I dodged a bullet on that one that the refs didn't call any penalty. That would have been so embarrassing.
They would have given you an extra play then, right? They would have given you two plays.
Exactly. Maybe I was hoping for that. But so that was pretty cool. It was kind of the triumphant moment for that whole Get Ben In campaign. And just for everything that I had worked for that whole season, it was pretty special, even though it was just a quarterback. You know, I got into one play, so it was pretty cool. But then when that season was over, I just randomly ran into Coach Carroll on campus. I was finishing up my degree that spring, and I ran into him. I was like, "Hey, Coach, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the team. It was an incredible experience, and I was so grateful and just wanted to express my thanks." And he's like, "Well, that's really interesting. I'm so glad I ran into you because I've been meaning to call you, but I was thinking about starting this website all about the team, and I'd love for you to run it." And so here I am. I'm looking for a job. I'm 2 or 3 months from being out of college, and Coach Carroll offers me a job. I'm like, "Okay, whatever it is, like whatever he's paying me, I'm in. I don't need to worry about anything. I'm just going to go for it. Just take a leap of faith here." And he's like, "Well, I can't pay you much, but give it a try." And so we start this thing called USC Rips It.
Yeah.
And start from scratch. And I get this idea, why don't we start a blog and just kind of update people 15, 20 times a day, just little one or two lines every little blog entry, and just kind of bring people through the day and take pictures in team meetings and put out videos that the team's watching and just really bring people on the inside. And it was so cool because we were just Coach, being all credit to him, just being ahead of the curve a little bit. This was right before social media started to take off. So we were just in the right place at the right time when Facebook starts to really expand. And I'm like, "Coach, let's get you on Facebook." And we get on Facebook and Max is out on friends right away. And so this was before they had like fan pages or anything. So then we hear about this thing called Twitter. And I was like, "Coach, there's this new thing called Twitter." He's like, "Well, I trust you, whatever it is, let's go for it." And then before we know it, he's one of the first like Twitter celebrities. And I mean, 2007 or 8, whatever it was. And it's just crazy. We were in the right place at the right time. We kind of hit a gold mine with all that stuff. So the USC Rips It blog and then all the social media stuff. And through that, Coach and I just developed a great kind of symbiotic relationship where we were just going back and forth. And he moved my desk to be literally right outside his door so that he could be walking by all the time. And just a really special time. And then he took the job with the Seahawks in early 2010 and asked me to come up with him. And I'd be a fool to turn that down. So I moved up with him. And during that process, just kind of transitioned to be his kind of special assistant, right-hand guy. And it's been obviously an amazing journey. This is our ninth season up here now. And just all the memories that have happened in all these years, it's so special.
It's great what you started, the USC Rips It blog. Basically, they got stuff that kind of continued that even after you were gone. Like Jordan Moore runs it now. I think they do a really good job on their social media pages. You know, they'll do Instagram and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. But you started that. I mean, no one was really giving you like updates of like, "Hey, Pete Carroll just had a salad for lunch and he's, you know, going over, you know, looking at the recruiting database," or whatever, like stuff that, you know, no one was really doing at the time. It seems like that was, you guys were ahead of the curve as far as that went.
Yeah, it was so cool that Coach opened the doors up for that and that he was thinking about that, because he's such a relational person and just wants to connect with fans, with everyone, and really bring people on the inside. You see that all the time where he's wanting to involve people in it. And just for him to think of that and for me to walk across his path on campus that day, and it was incredible. And to see what happened from there, just being, we were a couple steps ahead of the social media boom right there, and then to jump on social media, and a lot of it's commonplace now, where you'll see team Twitter pages and Instagram like bringing you in inside the locker room or sure, whatever it may be. And but this was 11 years ago now, and just to be able to do things that had never been done before, it's exactly what Coach was hoping for, and our fans seemed to really enjoy it, and it was really, really cool.
One of the interesting things that comes up a lot with fans, with, you know, when we talk about the media, there's this magical thing called a playbook. Like, no one really knows what it is. Is it on an iPad now? Was it an old 3-ring binder? It probably was different then than what it is now. I think it was probably fairly challenging for you, right, to pick this up and try to memorize like all the complex stuff is in there. Can you maybe describe what that was like, getting your first playbook, and what the experience was like?
Oh man, getting the first playbook. Well, that was my first real interaction with Kiff because, as you probably remember, he was not the easiest person to interview as a media person. So, I didn't really interact with him much as a newspaper reporter. And then there I am walking in and he hands me a playbook kind of begrudgingly and just, okay, here's your playbook, start studying. And, I remember holding it in my hand and I was like, okay, this is real now. You know, this, I actually have the holy grail of the football team and this is so, so cool. And then I open it up and I'm immediately brought back down to earth and it's like, where do I even start? How do I even study this? Because it's so complicated for someone who's not raised in that and brought up in that. And with, I didn't have a mind for that at the time. I mean, it's just, it was so foreign to me and it really felt like another language, even though everything's in English. All the numbers look the same, but it seriously feels like another language. And it's not just a play, but you have to know the formation and the personnel. Like, is it two wide receivers and one tight end, or is it one wide receiver, two running backs? I mean, it was just all the different factors that go into a play. It's just crazy how intricate it is. And I always kind of passed out, oh, football players, they can't be that smart. They just go hit each other. But football players are so smart. It's crazy the amount of information they have to retain and then to be able to regurgitate it in 40-second segments for every play. I mean, it's just – it's wild how complicated it is.
The Lane Kiffin relationship is interesting. And you're right. I mean, people would ask me a lot, especially when like when Lane Kiffin went to Tennessee. Like a bunch of people would call me to interview me to talk about on the like Tennessee media and stuff. He was never – like he was never like an easy interview, but he never like – and he never turned things down. He would always be accommodating, but he's not the easiest guy to talk to, I guess. He wasn't always the most personable. He seems like he's kind of grown a lot, but I don't, do you keep in touch with him at all? Or?
Yeah, definitely. Coach Carroll and him are still close. And, Kip, I mean, what a journey he's been on, just the ultimate roller coaster. So, and it's great. I mean, what is he, only like 42? You know, I like, think he's got another 20, 30 years left in him of coaching football. It's just crazy to see his career arc.
It is pretty nuts, but I think he's going to be back at a big D1 program at some point. We'll see, but he's always interesting. Like he's never dull.
We know, he could be back at the Raiders soon. So
yeah, that's true. I don't know. We'll see. Well, we had some fans write in a couple questions on the Peristyle on our message board. Keely, you want to read a couple of these? Or?
Sure. I actually have a question for you, Ben.
Oh.
At any point, did you feel over your head? Like, did you feel like, what am I doing? Should I just like quit? Was it too much for you at any point to be a walk-on?
Oh, yeah. I think I thought about that every day. It was the mental side of it with the playbook and the meetings are really hard. And then breaking down film is something that you have to learn too. And that was all really hard. And then the physical side, I mean, I'm laying in bed every night just in pain. It just hurt, you know, and every day I was feeling over my head. And but that's the cool thing. And that's what the book really speaks to is the purpose that we have. And I knew that I was there for a purpose and I couldn't wait to figure out what that was. So that really carried me through, was this sense of purpose. And that's really kind of the underlying message of the book and the whole story, is that we all have a purpose wherever we're at, whatever we're involved in, that there's an incredible purpose for each of us. So just being on that journey and hopefully this book kind of points people to that and really encourages people on that journey.
In that sense, I know that you wanted to be a writer and you were a reporter. Did you ever, following Pete Carroll, did you ever go, hey, I still want to be a writer? Or did you just follow where you kind of were led to?
Yeah, it was just following the open doors at the time. And it was cool because Coach saw what I had done with writing and being a journalist. And I kind of became a beat writer for the Pete Carroll and the football team just in-house. And so it was cool because I got to do that for those 3 years there, those three seasons at SC. And then moving up here, I've definitely transitioned away from that. But those skills that a journalist has of working on deadline and just being able to think on your feet, those are all, I've used those dozens of times a day. So I'm so grateful for that training.
We have a question from Gate Call who says, what was life like between the time Pete left USC and when he eventually joined, when you eventually joined Pete in Seattle?
Yeah, that was a hard time because I didn't move up right away. It was like 2 months after the fact because he had his hands full getting his staff together and just all the transition. It was just really challenging. And um, I I stayed on at SC, and Kiff was the guy that came in as the next head coach. And so him coming in, he didn't have the same appreciation for what we had been building. And because he was more of a tight-lipped, like, don't share anything out there, keep it all in-house. And so it was very challenging, but it was cool because we were kind of opening his eyes, and we got him on Twitter, and look what he's done with Twitter since. So.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's interesting that because, you know, Lane Kiffin, I mean, he started as a GA, I think, working with tight ends for Pete Carroll. And then, you know, that's all he knew. I mean, besides his dad and stuff. But the fact that he did want to be, when he took over, was a little bit more reserved about, you know, he wasn't as outgoing. It wasn't going to be as open. I wonder why that would be with, you know, Pete Carroll being so open. You would think that that would be some, you know, values, I guess, that would be instilled in him. Seems so many coaches now, Ben, it's like state secrets. Like, I don't want to say anything. And Pete Carroll was just as open as could be and had tons of success.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's just, it goes to show how leaders lead in different ways. And there's people all over the lot in football, and it's cool. It's cool. There's not one way of doing it. And you can be successful in so many different ways. And there's kind of the old school thinking of really secretive and all that. But then there's this new school of just wide open doors and bring people out. I mean, you saw that with Coach Carroll at SC, with the practices being open and people just being so involved in the program. It was really, really cool.
We have a question from Finkel that says he wants you to retell the story of Mario Taylor in the 100 Bibles.
Oh man, I don't know if we have time for that. And it's an incredible story, and speaking to purpose. And the book, that the last few chapters of the book kind of capture this story. And I had ended up feeling just this nudge in my heart to place Bibles in everyone's locker, and ended up doing that. And then the Bibles were not well received by any means. So I just felt like a total failure. But then I find out years later that there was an incredible purpose for those Bibles, involving Mario just before he passed away, tragically, that one night. And so I hope people can pick up the book and really dive into that story, because I don't want to give it all away. But it's an amazing story. It's truly unbelievable.
So that was Mario Dinello, and that was Taylor Odegaard, right?
Was our backup punter. Yeah,
right. He was a walk on too.
Well, and Mario was too at one time. So it's cool. All the walk on connection. There's a lot of walk ons that I see that have kind of made a name for themselves.
Awesome. Well, this is Ben Malcolmson. Follow him on Twitter at Ben Malcolmson. This is a book that you need to pick up. You got to check it out. If you're going to be around USC for the opener UNLV, you want to go by the USC bookstore. You can get it on Amazon. The book's called Walk On, but you can get it on Amazon. But Ben will sign it at the bookstore from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Friday, August 31st. And he's going to come to our little event too, between 3 and 5 p.m. right before the Jock Rally, in the little quad there next to Heritage Hall and the John McKay Center. I'm like, it's still a fairly new building, right? You've seen that one too, Ben. Have you seen that? It's pretty nice.
Man. It's palatial. It's pretty incredible.
A little different than what you guys had. People don't understand. Like, you guys had such a good team and literally the worst facilities of any top 25 program. I remember going to Chris Carlisle, obviously the strength coach, in his office was like basically a broom closet. And he would be describing what he's doing to train Reggie Bush, you know, sitting there like this uber athlete. I'm like, how is this possible? Like, this stuff is from like the 30s and you're like doing, but it worked. Obviously it worked.
Coach and all those coaches made it work. It was, it's kind of like walking into the Coliseum, where it's just so dingy and run down, but there's so much history and so much that just kind of ghosts from players in the past that it kind of lived there. And it's still special. And, thankfully there's this brand new McKay Center that's obviously, just top of the line and so cool to see now. And, I'm excited to see the Coliseum renovations finish up and just how much that's going to add to the whole game day experience for the Trojans.
Yeah, we just had a tour the other day. It's crazy how much construction is going on in there. The new seats are nice. I kind of have long legs, you know, so like I sat in the new seats and my knees were up against the person in front of me. So that was nice.
You'll just have to be standing the whole time.
Yeah, well, we're up in the press box. Our press box is supposed to be really nice. We're going to be in these temporary they're kind of like shipping containers or something that will be there for now. But then, you know, It's going to be really, should be really beautiful. All the seats look really cool. So it definitely needed a facelift.
Definitely. Yeah. It's an amazing stadium.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for coming on and sharing some of your stories. And you don't want to give them all away. So you want to be able to, you know, pick up the book. The book is Walk On. Find it on Amazon, at the USC bookstore. There's still some other bookstores out there, right? I'm sure there's other places, like actual stores.
It's at Barnes & Noble, too. So.
Barnes & Noble. That exists still. Yeah. See, it's still. Yeah, people always make fun of, like, there's no more bookstores. Like, there's some. but the USC bookstore, of course, Amazon, you can pick it up paperback. I think it's reasonably priced. You can go pick it up. And if you're around USC, Ben will sign it on August 31st. But, Ben, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Hey, great to be with you all. Thank you so much, and fight on.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
See ya.
Keely, that was pretty cool. What did you think of that?
That's really cool. I mean, the fact that he was around for that era of Pete Carroll is crazy. And the fact that he's still with Pete Carroll is just, that's insane.
The idea, I love the ideas. And I've had similar, like if you're like, hey, I want to get inside. And we've seen some people do this, like Matt Barkley did this for a little while, like doing, he would like try to play goalie for the, like where you try to immerse yourself in, and I've always dreamed about doing like a summer workout with the team as like this 47-year-old out of shape guy, and just see myself puking on the sideline. Just, and it would be kind of funny, but for an actual like college student to then do it and be good enough to make the team is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's insane. I it would be such a weird, you mentioned this, but to be go from reporter to being inside the team, it just must be a crazy experience.
We had like, you know, our buddy Marshall was like, you know, he came in, so he had done
Marshall Charrington.
Yeah, he did a lot of good work for like websites when he was in high school, loved basketball, covering this stuff, and was interning for us, and really was, you know, a good writer and really good at what he was doing. But when he got to USC, there was this thing that he wanted to be. It was like be on the other side of the fence. But once you went to become a manager, like you couldn't do stories for us. Now you're like a gatekeeper instead of a, you know, someone that is trying to peek in through the gate. So it's good. Have you got an update on him?
Marshall's actually an assistant recruiter at Cal.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah, crazy. Something. I think that's his title. But he's
so doing, that's cool. Yeah. So, you know, he started off on the media side, but really wanted to be on the athletic side, be on the football side, you know, for whatever reason. And obviously that worked out pretty cool for Ben. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool that he was kind of on the cusp of social media and involving the behind the scenes about like teams. That's really cool.
It was, and it worked really well with Pete Carroll because he was open. And I remember at the time thinking like, we're getting updates on like, oh, Pete Carroll's, you know, like I said, had a salad, or he's going to the bathroom, or whatever. I was like we were getting updates on what Pete Carroll was doing. I'm like, this is weird, but it was ahead of his time because that's what everyone's doing now. You're like, I just ate a cupcake. I don't know if I should have done that. There's a lot of calories. You're like, not like that, but that's people now give like daily updates online, which we weren't really getting at the time. I'm glad you're here because, you know, I was around for this, but to see, you know, your reaction to some of the stuff is cool because you might not have heard all the stories and stuff before, but it seemed like you enjoyed it.
No, it was a good talk. It was interesting.
Yeah. Well, we got to go to practice here in a little bit.
Mock game week.
So we might know. So by the time you listen to this, maybe we know who the starting quarterback is.
Do you think that will actually happen this week?
I'm kind of thinking.
Do you think they narrow it down to two?
I don't think they're going to narrow the two anymore. I kind of think they're just going to name a starter. Like, because what if you narrowed it to two today? Like, who would you pick? It would have to be JT Daniels and
Jack Sears.
And Jack Sears have played the best. Jack Sears had two throws on Saturday. So, like, how do you justify? Okay, he threw the ball twice. And so now he's one of the final two. It's just, to me, it's like, you probably just name the guy. And we put up our depth chart last night, I believe it was. Chris Trevino put it together. I wrote the little blurb.
I helped too.
I know. No, but on the quarterbacks. So one did you?
I did the O-line.
O-line. So I wrote the little blurb on the quarterbacks. I picked JT Daniels. I mean, like, that's what else are you going to pick? But I think at this point, it might just be just prudent to just do it, you know?
Do you think that maybe we'll see reps that it might be JT, but we won't know that it's JT till next week?
I think if we see it, then it's just that all the questions are going to be, it's hard to avoid it. And when we thought we saw it before, he said that was just part of the normal rotation. But it just so happened that the JT Daniels rotation, get the most throws, had been on the scrimmages. You know, like he would have like a Tuesday where he had only got a few throws. But For Jack Sears to only get like two during a scrimmage that was supposed to be, I don't know, there's, something's a little strange.
It's definitely strange.
So I didn't think he would name somebody this early, but I think he might just do it now. So
really?
I kind of do. I don't know why.
Like, I'm shocked by the change of heart that you're having right now.
Yeah, no inside info. And I haven't heard anything. I'm just saying, like, I think he might just name somebody after this practice.
I mean, you've been around long enough. I trust your gut.
Yeah, but
maybe I shouldn't.
It's, I mean, you never know. Like, but just from what you've seen, it's just like, it's a pretty obvious choice, right? Like, there's no.
Yeah, the ceiling is higher with JT Daniels. The question I keep going back to is, how do you go into a mock game week with three quarterbacks? That just doesn't seem.
Yeah. So if we see like two guys, like say JT Daniels and Jack Sears today get the majority of the reps. I don't think it would be a rotation thing anymore. I think maybe he does narrow it down to two, but
yeah.
I'm not sure if he's gonna.
The weird thing is that we've seen so much from fall camp, but now we go into seeing Tuesday and Wednesday only.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And they're going to have a close Thursday practice and a close Saturday scrimmage. So we won't be able to see much this week.
So Saturday, like, no.
We won't be able to see it.
Man.
I know. So we're going to try and read into everything probably today and Wednesday.
So that we're full on, yeah.
We're in game week mode.
Jeez.
I know.
We'll see. All right. Well, we're going to have Dan Weber on the show this week. We got to do a Harvey Hyde show. He actually called me while we're doing the interview. So we'll we'll do a couple more. I've talked to Gerard. We got to probably do a recruiting
Trojan
one too.
Trojan Blast recruiting podcast.
We got to do that. Of course, there's our live show will be on
Thursday
at noon. Make sure you check that out. Usually after that, we'll have our
Family Feud
podcast with Keely and Shotgun. If you want a more millennial version of, you know, you don't want to hear old me talking. And,
it's true.
You know, I usually have like older gentlemen on my podcast. I'm older than you guys, and then I have people older than me on the show.
So you can feel young.
So it's like get off my lawn kind of podcast.
Yeah.
Those are the get off my lawn podcasts. And then we have the younger Family Feud.
The youths.
Version. And again, like so Friday, August 31st, this is really the first official announcement. I haven't put it on the message. We haven't really told Keely about it or anyone else.
No.
So worked with Trader Joe's. They're going to provide snacks. And
snacks
are good. And and a lot of those bags. And those bags are super, super, super popular. We'll get a few of the Ben Malcolmson books.
Hey, if you want to be an entrepreneur, go on eBay and sell those Trader Joe's bags. They go for a lot of money.
It's ridiculous what those things. And just so you know, so they're if you haven't seen them, USC custom branded Trader Joe's bags. Now, I know a lot about this licensing market. Like, you can't sell them because they have all this USC logo stuff all over it. So, but they're allowed to give them away for promotional things.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know. Oh, you didn't know that? Yeah. So there's.
Because I thought I saw them in the actual USC store in the village, the Trader Joe's store. But is it just giveaway?
I believe they're only giveaway. I don't think they can sell them from what I'm understanding. And maybe the USC one, there's a separate thing. But like people, they give them away. But so people ask, I got people like writing to me like, hey, can you send me one? And it's like. I would love to, but just I don't want to be going to the post office all the time and like, you know, it's not easy to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you're around, make sure you show up on August 31st. Cool.
Very cool.
Well, let's wrap it up. We got to go over to practice.
We do.
Thanks so much for coming in the studio, Keely.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Hopefully you enjoyed it. Like,
I did.
That's it's a really cool conversation.
That's a fun guest to have.
I think people will enjoy this. So hope you did. Send us any feedback at podcast@uscfootball.com. But we'll get some more shows in this week. Mock game week around USC. 10 days until the kickoff. Is that right?
We're so close. I think it's 12, I believe, but I'm not.
10, 11, 12, something like that. Whatever.
Something.
What's today? 21st. Yeah. To the 1st. So. That's Keely. Your follow on Twitter at Keely is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Inside Troy. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Peristyle Podcast, and we will talk to you next time.
You may have noticed that shopping at Trader Joe's is unlike shopping at other markets. People ask us all the time how we manage to have such unique, interesting, and delicious products at such great everyday prices. This is Dan Bain of Trader Joe's. The answer is simple. It's all in the way we do business. We buy directly from the manufacturer whenever possible. This helps to keep our costs low, and we pass those savings on to you. No gimmicks, just great values at honest prices every day at Trader Joe's. Thanks for listening.
you've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast, presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.